This hour, we're talking about clothes and identity, and about that elusive thing called personal style.
I think everyone knows that feeling when you're dressed in an outfit you really like, and you look good, and you feel good. That is an essential power of clothing. Aside from, you know, covering your body or keeping you warm, it has the power to give you confidence.
Avery Trufelman is the host of Articles of Interest, a six-part podcast about the history and meaning of some iconic items of clothing, from blue jeans to Hawaiian shirts to pockets. So when she was in town for a visit recently, of course, we had to start by talking about what she was wearing.
Ah, I love that you asked this question. That's what I try to start asking everyone. Okay, what I'm wearing. I am wearing a turtleneck that belonged to my grandma. I wear mostly her clothes.
It's the most beautiful color of green.
Yes, emerald green. And she had great style. She was always wearing turtlenecks and slacks. She wore pretty much the outfit I'm wearing now. I'm wearing slacks that I got at a Salvation Army.
They look like slacks that Katharine Hepburn would have worn.
Exactly, exactly. They've got a pleat and everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, now I have to confess that I was going to say I don't think about my clothing, but that's obviously not true. Nobody can get dressed in the morning and not think about their clothing. But I dress defensively. So I dress to conceal what I perceive as the flaws in my body. And the older I get, the more flaws there are. So my clothing is becoming less and less interesting.
Really?
Yeah, but I mean, well, this gets into how we choose clothes and why, which I find so interesting. So have you always cared about clothing?
Yes, I have. And it's funny that you talk about dressing defensively, because I think we all know the feeling where you dress up nice one day, like you have an event or something to go to, and everyone goes, whoa, look at you. Or, you know, you get a haircut and people comment on it. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people resist dressing up because they don't like that attention.
But it can make you feel vulnerable, like everybody's looking at you, paying attention to you.
Exactly, exactly.
You comment about dressing neutrally, or assuming you can, think Mark Zuckerberg's and the ubiquitous gray t-shirt, that's a form of privilege. Can you unpack it a bit?
To assume that you can just not stand out. I'm going to not stand out today. Not everyone gets to not stand out. You know, if you're a person of color, there are politics involved in wearing a hoodie. Like, there just are. And you, God forbid, if you put the hood up, you're putting yourself at risk, unfortunately, in this world. Clothing is political. Some people don't have the option to just blend in and not be seen. We as women also know this problem well. There's a huge controversy around what is acceptable for women to wear in the workplace. Is it too short? Is it too loose? Is it too tight? Is it too
revealing, too low cut? All
too conservative, you know, or too mannish, too feminine, because one very visible element of male privilege is that there is a way for men to dress, and there are these rules that they get to follow, and if they follow these rules, they are invisible. They are free to just be brains in a jar, and no one will comment on their body or what they look like. It's because what you wear on your body is the way you exactly mediate. It's the front line of our internal worlds and our external worlds. It's how we meet our needs and the needs of other people. In some ways, it's more comfortable to be naked, but we have to wear clothes. It's about making other people feel comfortable and at ease, but it's also a way of expressing what you want the world to know about you.
Have you ever been to a nudist colony?
No, I never have.
Neither have I. But I was struck by you saying, in some ways, maybe we'd be more comfortable nude. I went to Esalen, the famous, earlier this year, the famous, used to be New Age colony. Anyway, they've got these famous hot spring baths, no clothing. And the weird thing was, when everybody's naked, I feel like I was much less self-conscious about what I look like. It's almost as though the clothes that we put on to try to make ourselves look better somehow make us feel more self-conscious. And I don't understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something that I think about. I thought about this a lot when I was working on the episode about pockets.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the episode, we start talking about this idea of utopia and a world where no one has pockets and what pockets mean. we have pockets in a world where we need our house keys, we need wallets, we need these tools to engage with the world around us and to keep our things safe and to make sure we can buy things. And my friend who I was interviewing for this Pockets episode, he was talking about how he went to a nudist colony and he was wondering if there they didn't have any pockets, if it was just this beautiful land where, you know, no one was worried about their possessions, or if clothing in our pockets make us more protective and more defensive. But no, they still have pockets. They wear these like purses in nudist colonies, apparently, to keep their things secure. But yeah, I think about that all the time because clothing, RuPaul said, we're born naked and the rest is drag. We are putting on a form of drag every morning when we wake up. And in some ways, I totally understand why you would have felt more comfortable just being naked, just being a bunch of human animals, not having to deal with the stickiness that all of our external identities impose on us.
Why do we have this idea that thinking about fashion and clothing is frivolous or trivial?
Well, here's my theory about it. Think of the people we historically associate with clothing, right? We think about women. And young people, people of color, queer people, these are the people who care about fashion. And these are groups of people who have been historically marginalized, who don't have this uniform of a suit and a tie or a heather gray t-shirt and jeans where they can just blend in and be a neutral party. These are people who have found great power and storytelling and community in the ways that they style their hair, get dressed up to go out, you know?
And many of the groups you're talking about have been owned by other groups in the past. So women as possessions of men, how a woman dressed was part of, she was literally a trophy.
Exactly, exactly. And in doing research on Indigo and blue jeans, I found these amazing stories of American slaves on plantations. Many plantations were used for indigo dye before cotton was the big cash crop. It was indigo. And they would make beautiful patterns on their horrible, itchy, scratchy, poorly made slave clothes, which were kind of like sacks, but they would draw and design on themselves. And there's another example of slaves who ran away giving themselves pockets, sewing in pockets into their clothes to give themselves autonomy. And there's this way that taking control of our clothes and what we wear and how we present, dressing to be the person that you want to be, this kind of aspirational thing. And a really easy way to dismiss that, the incredible power that has, is to say that it's vain or it doesn't matter or it's a waste of time. And I think that's so untrue.
Have you ever changed your personal style? I assume it's evolved, as most of ours do, but have you ever deliberately said, I want to change something about the way I dress, what I wear, how I look?
Well, so when I was in high school, I was a very outlandish dresser, and I shopped at thrift stores, and I really made great pains to try to look like I didn't care that I didn't fit in. And this carried on to college. I remember I was wearing, like, fur stoles on campus and LeMay dresses and just ridiculous stuff.
And no judgment.
Well, there was this horrible secret online message board at the school that I went to, and people were talking about me and the way I dressed and saying, who does she think she is? She thinks she's better than everyone else.
Oh, my God.
And I remember I started crying, and I realized that what I thought I was doing, which was I was trying to remove myself from the dialogue of fashion, which is nearly impossible to do. It's a form of communication, and I wasn't getting the right message across. And so I remember that day, I went to the Goodwill and I bought myself some black t-shirts, and I just decided to pare it all the way down. And actually, it wasn't until I did this series that I really started trying to find myself again and realizing that there's so much pleasure and wearing something that makes you just a little nervous when you wonder, like, can I pull this off? Is this a little strange? And this, too, is also a privilege, absolutely, to feel comfortable enough to be able to take a lot of risks.
Well, but one other thing that I think you're saying is that it can also be a form of generosity. And in that sense, you know, going back to the Mark Zuckerberg and the gray t-shirt, that's about being very closed, very private. Nobody can tell anything about you from your gray t-shirt. So there's this whole, like, how open am I to communicating with other people?
And I think it makes the people around you feel more free to try things out, to try to express themselves. And it's just a fun dialogue to have.
Avery Trufelman, Articles of Interest was named one of the best podcasts of the year. If you haven't heard it, there's a link on our website at ttbook.org. Check it out.